Our first lesson today comes from Psalm chapter 139. Listen for God's word. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my paths and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle on the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it is you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you.
Our second lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." Yesterday afternoon, Chip and I took our daughter Sophie and her voice professor from college down to JFK Airport for a three-week trip to Orvieto, Italy, for a music festival. In these COVID-limited times, it turns out that the best flights and fares to Italy were out of JFK, so her professor had to drive up to our house from Pennsylvania yesterday morning so that we could drive them both to the airport. As soon as we got into the car, they both started double and triple checking everything. Did they have their passports, their proof of vaccination cards, their proof of a negative COVID test, their credit cards, their music, their toothbrush? Was their luggage too heavy? Would they be able to sleep on the plane? At one point, after reassuring herself that she had everything, one of them said, "I'm worried that I've forgotten something." Then they proceeded to read through the extensive check-in instructions from the airline and worry about whether or not we would get them there in time for the COVID test that had to happen at the airport, and then whether or not they would be ready to get on the plane. I wasn't even going on the trip, and yet my anxiety rose just listening to them. Of course, you don't need to travel to Italy to find something to worry about these days. There's plenty of anxiety in the air. Even though the world is slowly opening up and many of us are feeling more optimistic and hopeful, we continue to live in anxious times. For all of the talk about how the pandemic has helped us to reprioritize and refocus our lives on what is truly most important to us, the simple blessings of life, time with family and friends, the gift of faith, the centrality of love and compassion and kindness, I've been surprised at how easy it is for us to fall back into our pre-pandemic penchant for worrying about everything. As we emerge from our homes and restrictions, we are simply trading one set of worries for another. What will it be like to see people again? Do I have to wear a mask? Is it okay to shake hands or give someone a hug? How will we make up for lost time, lost opportunities, lost learning, lost revenue? How will we get people back to church? Now what does the future hold? As preacher Gil Watson once said, anxiety is the curse of the 21st century. We worry about things we cannot control, and then we worry about not having any control. Too often we worry just for the sake of worrying. I've often thought if we could find a way to bottle our anxiety and put it to some productive use, we will have discovered the next greatest ultimate renewable energy source. As some of you know, my Aunt Sarah, who lived across the river in Warwick, died unexpectedly at the end of May. The youngest of my parents' generation, my Aunt Sarah was the most energetic of them all, an avid gardener, nature lover, enthusiastic hiker and kayaker, a talented painter, and a very supportive and fun-loving mother, aunt, grandmother, and great-aunt to my own kids, always ready to play a game or go on an adventure, even with a turkey in the oven or a house full of guests. Details, expectations, and long-range planning were not really her thing. Last Saturday, at her memorial service, we listened to Jesus' words from our scripture lesson this morning. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. Consider the lilies of the field. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? Indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. As Pastor Stacy Pierce pointed out in her homily, my aunt exemplified these words in so many ways. The rhythms of the birds of the air and in the flowers of the field, Sarah saw God. God's beauty, God's creativity, God's great love and providence. And from that, she derived her faith and trust that just as God took care of the flowers of the field and the birds of the air, God would also care for her and all of God's children. Sarah lived her life in joy and in freedom from fear and worry because she trusted in the promises of God and God's providence and care for her. Pastor Stacy went on to describe what a common occurrence. Sarah would frequently come into my office during any given week and share with me some ministry-related concern, whether it was that we didn't have enough gardeners to help in the garden or not enough volunteers for the adult ministry team or not enough boxes for the Church World Service Mission Project. And whenever she did so, when she named the problem at hand, Sarah would always respond in the same way. She would share her concern, shrug her shoulders, and say, well, I guess that's another thing to pray to God about. And then she'd go on with the rest of her day. And pray she did. I had the privilege of reading through part of her daily journal and a box of prayers that she had written. In those sacred words, she poured out many of her daily concerns and worries. But you would never know that from the way she lived her life. As Pastor Stacy said, Sarah trusted with all her being that God would provide, that God would take care of her and the world God created around her. As we celebrate her life, perhaps we should also learn from her. We don't need to worry about all of the many things in our lives. We can trust that God cares for us, and God is acting with our best interests in mind. So we can rest, knowing who God is and in God's deep love for us. Well, that's nice for my quirky, creative aunt, you might say. But what about the rest of us who are more anxious by nature, who would worry the salt off a pretzel if given the chance? These words of Jesus seem rather idealistic or naive or out of touch with the realities of our daily lives or the world today. As New Testament professor Richard Beaton writes, Jesus' words seem out of step with our society, and on the surface, they lack coherence with the lives we are living. When interpreted in a superficial manner, this statement could only have been written by a single guy living a carefree life on a beach in sunny Galilee. The implication of Jesus' message here is that much of what matters to us today, the material aspects of our lives, ought not to be taken seriously and can be completely trusted to God who cares for us. It seems to suggest that one does not need to work or prepare for the future at all. We can simply relax, knowing God will take care of everything. But as most of us know, this does not seem to match the life we know on this planet. Maybe not, but I don't think that Jesus is saying here that we should all sit back, put up our feet, and eat bonbons all day. Rather, Jesus wants us to keep our lives and all of our daily concerns in perspective. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? He asks. The problem arises when we confuse the necessities of life with the purpose of life. If our primary purpose becomes providing for our basic needs of food, clothing, shelter, comfort, security, then that's what we will focus on, and we will always worry that we won't have enough. We soon begin to believe that our survival depends solely on ourselves. It's all up to us. It's all about us. And we forget that we are part of a much bigger world, an amazing creation given to us by a loving creator who gives us the gift of life and everything necessary to live the life that God created us to live. As one preacher said, people who mistakenly confuse these necessities of human life with the purposes of life are consumed with worry. And such worry indicates a deficit of trust. That's why Jesus says, you of little faith, a deficit of trust that God cares for humanity, just as he cares for the rest of creation, all the way from the birds of the air to the lilies of the field. Jesus is focused here on our tendency to excessive worry and anxiety and fear, which fuels so much of our life today, and which is most often the result of losing our connection to the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer of our lives. Canadian pastor David Ewart explains that Jesus' teaching here is about worrying that leads to anxiety and fear and fretting and fussing. It is not about planning or being responsible or caring. It is not encouraging us to have a laid-back whatever kind of attitude. The opposite of all this worry, fear, and anxiety is faith, or better still, trust. If we were to trust God as simply and completely as the birds of the air and the flowers of the field do, we would not be anxious. We would still have responsibilities, but we would not be anxious about them. Rather than encouraging us to kick back and let God take care of us, Jesus is challenging us to get our priorities straight. Strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Live your life as a child of God. seeking first and foremost to live in right relationship with God, one another, and the world God loves. As a citizen of God's kingdom, we will live by a different set of values and priorities. God's kingdom values of love and grace, compassion and justice, hospitality, generosity, peace, hope, and joy. When you find yourself drawn into a whirlpool of worry, Jesus says, stop and look at the birds of the air and the lilies of the field. Let them remind you of God's incredible creativity, astonishing beauty, abundant love, and sustaining care for all of creation. Stop striving and worrying endlessly about your own needs, and instead focus on making God's reign real here and now, wherever you live or work or play. Follow my way, Jesus said, and leave your worries behind. So whatever you're worrying about today, whether it's your child in a foreign country across the ocean by yourself for the first time without you, or how you will possibly get everything done that needs to be done in the next day or week or month, whether it's what you're going to eat for dinner or what life will be like post-pandemic, don't worry, Jesus says. Look at the birds of the air. Consider the lilies of the field. Remember that just as God has provided for them, so God will provide for us. Out of God's abundant generosity, quirky creativity, and unfailing love. As we travel on our sabbatical journey this summer, and as the world reopens, and we re-engage the many different priorities of our lives and the world around us, let's follow the way of Jesus Christ, a way free from worry and anxiety and fear, trusting that when we make God's kingdom way of life our top priority, our guiding star, the foundation of our choices and routines and daily living, that God, our heavenly parent, already knows everything that we need. And God can't wait to fill our lives with beauty, joy, and peace. Amen.